We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. Started out dreary. I hadn't looked outside in the last couple hours, but looking at the deals, it's still pretty humid and stuff out there. So anyway, maybe a little wheat harvest going on today. We'll see. According to media, we got some pretty good shot at some storms, mainly kind of like south of Arnett, back towards the Red River, big hail and all that stuff. So just be ready. You know how things blew up Sunday, so maybe another one of those days. So anyway, let's check out some temperatures. Hollis, you're the hottest spot in the main part of the state at 79 degrees, and up there, where's that? Goodwill? Yeah, Goodwill's 86 degrees. 72 at Arnett, 70 at Fairview, 70 at Cherokee, 73 at Hobart, and Tipton 75 out here in the panhandle of Texas. We got Lipscomb's at 80, 84 at Miami, 81 at Wellington, and 75 at Odell. And Wellington's 80. Yeah, Wellington's 81. I already said that. Childress is 81. There we go. I got that down. All right, a lot of things going on. Cotton planting, peanut planting, combining, the wheat crop, hay's going on. All kinds of good things are going on. It's a busy time of the year, and I want to reiterate to you, all the listeners, to pass it along to, please, if you will, that be aware of all the equipment that's out on the road. There's lots of equipment going on. Matter of fact, man from Creston from Blair that come out and fix my tire earlier, he told me there was more action around my house and it was going on in downtown Blair. Thank you, North Fork Electric, for coming out and trimming those trees. Well, they were doing it anyway. It wasn't my deal, but anyway, they're trimming all the trees right there where the power lines, that big three-phase line going through there, 440, whatever they call it. I'm no electrician. Trimming all them trees around them telephone poles. No, those power poles. Bobby Martin gets really aggravated when I call them telephone poles. But anyway, they're down there trimming. Landlord's out there with his wife and granddaughter. They're checking out the peanut plant. We got the peanut plant done yesterday. Big thank you to my neighbors for helping me out on that. What else is going on? High tunnel's going good. Speaking of the high tunnel, I'll talk about it coming up later on the show. I'm going to solve some tomato myth for you. If you ever wonder when you should pick your tomatoes off your plants, you want to listen to this deal I got coming up later in the show. I've been working on this for about 7 years, and between my research... Sound like a professor, don't I? But I'm not. No, between what I've discovered and played with the last 7 years with tomatoes and some other research I've done from other growers, you guys want to listen to this deal about when you should pick your tomatoes. A lot of myths out there about that. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started with what happened overnight in our big ag world. Grain and soybean futures were a little changed as global weather woes underpinned prices. Flooding that has now killed around 150 people and left 600,000 displaced continues in the Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul. Parts of the state remain underwater, and in some areas, more rain is expected. And I've seen the story, if I can find it in between break, about how much cattle loss they've had in that same state. Unreal. The Rio Grande do Sul was forecast to have the second largest soybean crop ever And it is the second largest soybean producing state in South America. The size of the state crops is really in question due to the flooding. In Russia, dry weather through parts of the growing season, followed by a freeze early this month, has threatened the crop prospects. So in the U.S., Southern Plains, little or no rain has fallen in the past 2 weeks, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. About 49% of Kansas, the biggest wheat producer in the U.S., was suffering from drought conditions last week. That's up from 48.6% 7 days earlier, according to the drought monitor. And I'll get on with the drought monitor here in just a minute. Still, the nation's winter wheat crop continues to fare fairly well. Anyways, some 49% was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday. The USDA said in its report that that's down from 50% a week earlier. Wheat futures for July delivery fell overnight a penny and a half to $6.91 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures lost a penny to $6.98. Corn futures were up a half a cent to $4.61¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery added 2 cents to $12.48¼. Soy meal gained 50 cents to $3.78.70 a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.18 cents to 46.06 cents a pound. Today is Thursday. A couple things come out on Thursday. The ethanol production report plus the penny news. We'll have that on some more on the penny news here in a second. Ethanol output surged to the highest level in 6 weeks while stockpiles declined in the 7 days that ended on the May 17th. Production rose to average of 1.019 million barrels a day. That's up from 1 million barrels last week. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output increased to 964,000 from 954,000 the week prior. Gulf Coast production jumped to average of 23,000 barrels from 16. Rocky Mountain increased to 11,000 from 9,000. Everything else pretty much the same. Ethanol inventories through May 17th reported at 24.21 million barrels. That's down from 24.84 million a week earlier. What's our weather doing in our farm belt? Flooding is expected in parts of eastern Iowa and northern Illinois as more storms rumble through there today. According to the National Weather Service, severe weather is possible tonight in eastern Iowa counties, and damaged wind, large hail, and potentially tornadoes being the main threats. Winds will gust from 60 to 70 miles an hour late tonight. 5 people were killed and another 35 injured after tornadoes ripped through Greenfield, Iowa, a town 50 miles southwest of Des Moines. Flood warnings have been issued for several waterways in the area that have or will overrun their banks. The Iowa River was at 16.2 feet last night, topping flood stage of 15 foot. And then the river in Marengo, Iowa, is expected to rise again this evening due to the rainfall upstream. That's about going on. Well, anyway, Penny News is out. The new one's out. And it's got an Atwoods insert in it. So I gandered through there. Took a gander. And one item caught my attention on the front page of that insert down there at the bottom. This is serious farming season around here right now, so every combine, every swather, every tractor, every whatever, even the pickups hanging around out there have got some kind of ice chest in their truck. Well, these are just the right size for tractors and combines, so at any Atwoods in Oklahoma, you can find these. Anyway, they're half off. The 18.7 quart Coho soft-sided cooler, and these are good coolers that are usually $60, $29.99. So you better put her in gear and roll into Atwoods, your favorite Atwoods, and grab you one of them. That's good. That's half off, people. Go in there and buy them out, and you told them you heard about it on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. How's that? Anyway, their buy of the week, why I got it open here, is the charcoal lighter that's usually $4. It's $2.49, 32 ounce, the big one, 32 ounce, and they even got a lighter for 90 cents. So I wanted to share that with you. That's a pretty good buy on a cooler. So matter of fact, I might own one here in about an hour and 15 minutes. How's that? Okay, let's go ahead. Today is Oklahoma Farm Bureau Day, Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll have more on them coming up right after this break. And I also want to tell everybody I appreciate your participation yesterday when I had Kenny Naylor on here from the Department of Ag, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, talking about weeds and all that other stuff. And that's pretty interesting what he said there towards the end of the show about getting your hay tested if it's going out of state, if you're taking your horses or mules to New Mexico or Colorado or wherever you're going, that your hay has to be certified. Pretty easy to do. So anyway, seems like it's a pretty easy deal to do. So anyway, pretty cool stuff. I like it. Anyway, let's take a break, and when I come back, we'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market update, and I have the report from Hobart Stockyards yesterday. They had a really good sale yesterday, and then Beaver, they had a really good sale too up there at Beaver Tuesday. So we'll have all that for you when I come back, and then after that, tomatoes and gardens, baby. Here we come.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities, in the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg, and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money, too. My wife will be so proud.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed, at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center, we have 69.8 degrees. The wind's basically zero, according to this, here in the studio. You guys understand we're surrounded by big skyscrapers here. We don't get the wind we do right outside the city limits. 96% humidity. Anyway, out here in the Texas Panhandle, hello, here is your ag weather update for Lipscomb. Not the dealership, but the city. 84 degrees, heat index is 85, humidity is at 50%, dew point 63. The winds are out of the southwest at 15 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 24 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation, 3 inches even. How about that? 8-inch soil temperature, 70 degrees. 70 degrees. It's pretty warm. All right, let's do the Lipscomb dealership here in Elk City and Sayers. Ag grain market update. How about that? July corn. It just changed on me. Hang on. When you hear me pause doing the market, that's because the screen flashed on me. So just be patient with me. July 465 up 4. September's up 4 at 474. Soybeans for July 1240 down 5.5. August 1238 down 4.5. Soybean meal for July 377.80 down 0.5. And August is, what is that? There, flashback at me. 373.90 down 10 cents. Soybean oil for July 45.30 down 58. August is 45.60 down 54. Check wheat out, baby. July futures right now, 706 up 7.25. September 720 up 6.75. Cotton's even made it past the 80 mark. July cotton's at 81.90 up 252. I'm sure it's gone up because they heard like the Damerons and the Rhodes, they're all planting cotton and Spencer and all them. So they thought, man, they're planting. We might as well make the market go up. Anyway, October cotton, 79.66 up 138. West Texas oil, July, 76.73 down 84. Natural gas, June, 272 down 11. Let's see here. We got a lot of red going on with the meats here, but not terrible. Live cattle for June, 184.25. up 7 cents. August is 181.65 down 2 cents. October's 184.60 down a nickel. Feeder cattle for May, 250.35 down 2. August is 262.42 down 47. And September's 263.62 down 12. Lean hogs are in the red. June 94.47 down 92. And July's 97.22 down. It just changed on me. Down, it's 97.17 down 95 now. Looks like the Dow and the S&P are in the red and the NASDAQ's a little bit in the green. So we got that going. All right, let me go back over here to my email so I can do the Hobart. There we go. They look like they had a really good sell yesterday. Steers weighing 4 to 5. Average weights was 453. Looks like average price was 339, but top end was 375. 5 to 6 weights were what was that? I can't read that. 264.75. Some brought 318, though. 6 to 7 weights up to 275. 7 to 8 weights up to 245. And 8 to 9 weights up to 180. Let's see here. We got heifers, 3 to 4 weights. We're bringing up 382, 5 to 6 weights up to 337, 6 to 7 weights up to 232. Where did I miss 5 to 6 weights were two? Sorry, the first time I've read it like this. 5 to 6 weights up to 288, 6 to 7s up to 232, and 7s up to 215, and 8s up to 195. Pairs were bringing 2,900. Butcher cows were bringing up to, looks like $1.55 was the highest one I seen there. And butcher bulls were bringing up to, all right. Yeah, here we go. Up to 172. And then they had some cows, must have been bred cows, bringing 1,700 to 1,900 pounds there. And then on the calves, they had some 2 to 3 weights. It was bringing up to 425, 3 to 4 weights up to 417, and 5 to 6 weights up to 380. So anyway, pretty good little sale there. All right, let's see what happened at Beaver. If I can find out where what I did with it. There it is. It says market. Anyway, Beaver Stockyards up there in the Panhandle of Oklahoma Tuesday. Looks like they had big sale, 4,639 heads sold. Heifers, she here. Okay, bred heifers were bringing up to 1775. That's what it said here. Bred heifers, 9 head, averaged 852 weight. Price was $1.77 a pound or $1,507 a piece. Bulls were, there was had 51 bulls, average weight $1,544, $1.5994 average price per pound, $2,469 head. And then what do we get here? Where am I at? Cattle, bull calves, 63 head, 615 weight, up to $247.30, a little over $1,500 bucks a head. Here's some cows, and let me get back down here to the bottom. 239 head of cows were sold, average weight 1183, average price $142.35. That equals $1,684 per head. And then we got heifer calves here. Let me get to the bottom here. They had a lot of heifer calves. Yeah, heifer yearlings, 1,288 head, average weight 773, average price $228.74. Average price per head, $1,767.75 a head. And then they had some pairs that sold for $24.75. And then here we go, steer calves. Steer calves, they had 132 head of steer calves, average weight $487, average price $331.25. Average cost to buy one of those, $1,614 head. Where is the here? Yeah, I was looking for the steers. My screen's not going up. There it goes. All right, there we go. Now I got the serious stuff. 2,586 head of steers, yearlings, average weight 839, average price 243.08, average price per head $2,038.26 a head. Pretty good sale at Beaver the other day. So anyway, before we go to break, go ahead and take a gander at this U.S. drought monitor. Northwestern Oklahoma, a little bit of the panhandle. You're in a D2. Most of the panhandle's in a D1, D0. A little bit of D0, is that right? Yeah, D0 going on in western Oklahoma. Other than that, the rest of the state's in good shape. About a third of Texas is in some sort of drought, and it's getting more serious. Most of it in southwest Texas and all of New Mexico is in some sort of drought with a big old red spot there. Not the dark red, but the light red. Was that D3? Is that right? Did I guess it right? Yeah, D3. Anyway, the rest of the country looks awesome. I mean, basically, if you drew a line, straight line up I-35 in Oklahoma and continue to go straight north to the Canadian border, everything east of there except for a little dab of Florida is no drought, and California and Nevada and Oregon, no drought. So anyway, crazy world we got going on here. Okay, before we take a break, let me talk to you a little bit about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579, or you can go to OKFarmBureau.org and check them out. And what I do like about Oklahoma Farm Bureau is they participate in a lot of activities at every city in our community in Oklahoma. There's always something going on by the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. So anyway, appreciate what they do for our local communities. Let's take a break and be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You should be treated with dignity and respect. You should be able to do work that matters, and you ought to work with people who feel the same way. Canyon Oilfield Services is looking for you. They need Class A CDL drivers with transport, flatbed, and pneumatic experience. They're also hiring roustabouts. Excellent pay and full benefits will be yours. I'm telling you, opportunities abound here. Do you want to look at the person working beside you and know you can trust him? Do you want to spend your time with people who work hard, but who know that you're not just a number? You're a person created in the image of God. Canyon needs people like you to work at their Elk City, Fay, Durham, and Hinton locations. That's Hinton, Durham, Fay, and Elk City. Apply at Canyon's Elk City office. It's on Highway 6, a mile and a half south of the golf course. Or go online to canyonoilfield.com. You can even call 729-3297. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money, too. My wife will be so proud.
Life is a journey, and you want to enjoy your ride. You'll feel the joy in your brand new GMC from Cummins in Weatherford. Great savings on a new 2024 GMC Sierra 1500. Receive 1.9% APR for qualified buyers, plus an additional $3,250 purchase allowance. Your truck, your style, your story. Easy financing, excellent service, incredible sales experts. Cummins Cadillac Chevrolet Buick GMC in Weatherford, I-40 and Airport Road, and online at CumminsBPG.com. See dealer for details. GMC, we are professional grade.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 20th. 1,755 head were sold. 3 head of steers at $4.92 brought $3.07. 7 at $5.99 brought $2.96. 12 at $6.48 brought $2.88. 28 at $8.33 brought $2.42. 33 at $9.25 brought $2.24.75. 10 at $11.21 brought $2.02. 8 head of heifers at $4.73 brought $3.01. 4 at $5.13 brought $2.95. 10 at $6.10 brought $2.42. 19 at $8.19 brought $2.21. 18 at $8.29 brought $2.19. 9 at $8.38 brought $2.20.50. 38 at $8.50 brought $2.19. Butcher cows were 81 to 145. Butcher bulls brought 139 at 182. Pairs were 1,700 to 3,100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auctions. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what's happening in northwestern Oklahoma. Let's pick a city up there for Ag Weather Update. Who have I not done in a while? Oklahoma, done it. Cherokee, I haven't done it in quite a while. Let's check it out. Cherokee, here is your Ag Weather Update. 71 degrees currently right now. Dew point 66. Humidity's 82. The winds are out of the east southeast at 9 miles an hour. 24-hour, their deal's not working. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 76 degrees. Sunset at 8:40. 30% chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, 86 for a high. Tonight, 64 for a low, 30% chance of severe thunderstorms. Tomorrow looks pretty nice. Winds out of the northwest at 10 to 17 miles an hour, mostly sunny and a high of 84 degrees. How about that? So anyway, we got that out of the way. So I'm trying 9 miles south of Canute. You haven't been getting any rain, really? One of my listeners texted in and said, hey, Jimmy, where do I order some of this rain that everybody's been getting? I've got hardly none at my house. Well, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope you get some good rain tonight and none of the hail and the wind. How about that? Hope you do. So anyway, 9 miles south. So you're at 152 or mile in south of there, aren't you? Let's see. Oh, yesterday when I left the show, I had to go pick up my landlord's pear that I told you guys the story about the day before that escaped out of the trailer because some dummy. Well, anyway, that dummy was me. But anyway, Dr. Mouse got her fixed up and I went by there to get them. And there was a couple gentlemen standing in there. They were getting some cattle worked on. They said, hey, is that the cow there you was talking about on radio yesterday? Yeah, that's the one. She's famous now. Anyway, took her back to the pasture. Everything's pretty good. All right. Let's talk tomatoes, tomaters, however you want to say it. Depends on what part of the county you're from. Anyway, when, and I want you guys to participate in this. Give me your opinion. We got the whole half, last half of the show to go. 580-225-9697. Send me your text. Send me your opinion. You know, if you want me to say your name on the radio, you'll have to put your name there. Other than that, I'm not going to mention your name, but I will mention your opinion. When is the right time to pick a tomato? There's a lot of myths out there. So first, I'm going to discuss what they do with commercial tomatoes. When they're, you know, they had to bring them into all the big grocery stores like Puckett's over there at Sayre or Homeland and United and Walmart here. Anyway, there's a lot more to it than you see. So obviously, commercial growers have to pick earlier so they don't rotten by the time they get to the store. So here's what they do. So there's four stages of a tomato. And it's the first stage is what's happening now. If you got any tomatoes on your plant, it's called the immature green stage. The second stage is the mature green stage. The third stage is the breaker stage. And the fourth stage is the ripe stage. The mature stage was is stage number two is when commercial growers pick their tomatoes, they put them in crates, and they send them to warehouses. Where at that warehouse, they put them in rooms and they gas them with ethylene. Ethylene is what makes your tomato ripen. So they commercially put ethylene gas on the tomatoes to make them ripen quicker, and that's probably where some people think that they lose their taste, you know, but man, I don't know. I've got quite a few tomatoes from like Puckett's over at Sayre, and they're pretty good tomatoes, but every now and then when you go to one of the grocery stores, they're not really soft, they're really hard and stuff like that, and this is part of this process. So let's get back to the home growers. Let me know when you think you want to pick your tomato. So the last 7 years since I started back into gardening, I've been paying attention, taking some notes and stuff like that. So a lot of people want to leave their tomatoes on their vines until they turn totally red. Well, there's a lot of things can happen when it's red on your tomato vine. And number one, the worms, the birds, they were ready and it rains and they bust open because they got too much water in them or sunscald, or they get sunscald. So here's what I've figured out I'm doing this year, especially with all the tomatoes I've got growing, is I've been playing with it. And so I'm going to pick them at the breaker stage, and that's the third stage. And the breaker stage is where they're starting to turn red. So what I found out through some scientific investigations, you know how good I am at that, is when the tomato plant, or the tomato, the fruit, let's call it the fruit, gets to the breaker stage, and that's where it just, you can just barely see, it's got that little red tint down there at the bottom coming. Well, actually, what happens to the fruit and the tomato plant at that time is when it starts turning red, you barely see it, it actually put up a cell wall between it and the tomato plant. So the tomato plant and it are no longer buddies. They might be hanging there, but they're no longer buddies. It cannot put any of its proteins or nutrients, whatever you want to call it, into that tomato anymore. The tomato is on its own. So it doesn't matter whether you pick it there or wait till afterwards. You're taking a chance with the worms and the rain and the birds and the sun skull if you leave it hanging there. I'm not saying you don't have to pick it here, but you'll be way better off by picking it when it's about 30% red. You're not going to lose any flavor because that cell wall, I'm telling you, has already been put up. There ain't nothing going to go on more. That tomato is what it is. And pick it when it's about 30 to 50% red. Take it inside the house, somewhere where it's room temperature. Do not expose it to sunlight. And early stages right now, you can, like right now, you're just picking one here and there. Later on in the summer when you got a million of them, whole different ball game. So keep, put it in somewhere on a table or in the floor. Keep it away from the other one, other fruit that you got around there, and just let it do its thing. Let it turn, and you're not going to lose any flavor. I promise you, you're not. I don't care what the myth is. A lot of this waiting for the tomato plant fruit to turn red is totally psychological in your brain that it's going to be better if we let it ripen all the way up in the plant. It's not true, I promise you, because a couple of years ago before the deer got into my business, I sold 3,000-4,000 pounds of tomatoes to a lot of people in Elk City and Sayre, and if it was bad, they didn't tell me, but I had a lot of compliments, and all those tomatoes were picked when they were about 25 to 30, 40% red, and I put them inside the house not exposed to the sunlight. It wasn't dark in there, but not exposed to the sunlight, and let them ripen, because it will naturally put off its ethylene gas. It's already doing it. It will do it on its own. So, and that's the key to good ripe tomatoes, is letting it do it on its own. But what I did find out with all my little bit of investigating is that, you know, like right now, if you pick a tomato that is, say a fourth red, you can put it in a brown sack with an apple or a banana and close that brown sack up, and the ethylene gas off the apple and the bananas will help mature that tomato also. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Anyway, if you do store your tomatoes like in a basement or a cellar like that, they said the perfect temperature is 65 to green, and 55 to 65 is a good temperature to store your tomatoes at, to let them ripen. You don't want to be any cooler than 55, and you don't want to be any warmer than, say, like 70, 75. You want to be a room temperature. So anyway, I thought that was some pretty interesting facts that, you know, why take the chance with your tomatoes outside ripening all the way? It's a psychological deal, I promise you. So the immature stage, green stage, the mature green stage, the breaker stage, and the ripe stage are the four stages of tomatoes when on the plant. So I hope that helps you guys out with that really is a false reputation of tasting better if you let it ripen all the way to on the plant. So anyway, just letting you know, so you can actually pull your tomato in 2 or 3 or 4 days earlier and keep it out of the nature's way of doing that. So anyway, but to see here, what else do I need to do there? Anyway, while you're letting them green up and stuff like that, do if you do catch a tomato in there with a bad spot or rotten spot, however you want to call that, take it out, throw it away, keep it away from your other tomatoes so they don't get any of that, because diseases and tomatoes transfer while they're in the ethylene stage. So anyway, all right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, and we'll be right back after that.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah, or give them a call at 928-2664.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Blair, Oklahoma. Here's your ag weather forecast brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden Store there in Hobart. Man, it's a good store, especially if you're an outdoorsman. I need to go look for me one of these. My wife, I asked her the night before last, since I know she's listening. I asked, wanted to know if she wanted to go hold the spotlight while we were looking for hogs in the peanuts. She said no. She said, I needed to get me one of those headlamps to shine. They don't make headlamps that shine 500 yards. But anyway, she, I'm going to have to go down to Hobart Farm and Garden, see if they got one of these headlamps that'll shine about 300 or 400 yards where I can blast the hogs while they're tearing up my peanuts. But knock on wood, two nights in a row, went out there last night a couple times, and so far, no hogs. Thank goodness. And they're sprouted. They're ready to come up. They ought to be up in 4 or 5 days, depending on how the weather is. Anyway, Altus, or not Altus, but Blair, 76 degrees, dew point 71, humidity's 84%. The winds are out of the south at 12 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 38 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 80 degrees. Sunset at 8:39. 30% chance of severe thunderstorms. 92 degrees for a high today. South winds 12 to 20. Severe thunderstorms tonight, 30% chance. 64 for a low tomorrow. North, southwest and northeast winds, 88 for a high and mostly sunny. I was looking through my sheet that my bosses always drop off at my desk. Guess what's coming up on the 13th of June? And I went to the one last year, and it was really good. And it's called the KCO Picking in the Park. Got Cody Brewer. Our man JC here. He just walked through the hallway a while ago. Cooper Twyman, Caroline Grace. They'll all be performing at Picking in the Park. It starts at 8 o'clock. At the park here in Elk City, and it's gorgeous. The trees are there. The grass is green. The city of Elk City does a really good job taking care of the park. And it's presented by Edward Jones, Joshua Thomas, Gas, and Hutches, all here in Elk City. It's a great time. Load up your chair. Bring in an ice chest full of your favorite beverage, cold water, cold tea, sweet tea, if you got some, I'll do. And this is, guess what? This is free. And this is brought to you by KCO. That'll be fun. June 13th. Put that on your calendar. It'll be really good. I think it's a Thursday. I didn't even check it. Is it a Thursday? I think, I don't know. It is. Let me check it so I don't have misinformation out there. I wouldn't want to do that. Let's see here. Yes, it's a Thursday. There we go. Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, Picking in the Park. That'll be pretty good. Let's see here. What else do I got going on? Oh, here's why you should always read all your stories that you're reading. I try to do my best not to give you guys false information, but here is a very good example. And this is by agriculture media firms that do this. So here's the headline. Damage already done to Kansas wheat crop. Despite recent rainfall, some improvements have been made in the winter wheat crop in Kansas. However, the state's crops remain the worst in the nation. For the sixth week in a row, winter wheat in Kansas is the worst in the nation. However, the state's winter wheat crop saw a slight improvement in crop condition from the previous week, and that was like 1%. The week ending May 19th, 31% of the crop was in poor to very poor shape, according to the USDA's crop progress report. Recent rainfall could be the cause for slight improvements in the winter wheat crop condition, said Christopher Redmond, assistant meteorologist at Kansas State University, says that despite the precipitation, the damage has already been done for most of the state's crop. Was most farmers, wheat farmers especially, we already know that. They keep talking about rain, and once it gets in that flag stage and the head's done, then it might help fill it, but that's about it. So here's the next story. Same information, same company. Kansas wheat yield this same day. Two stories. Kansas wheat yield projected the highest since 2021. So anyway, I don't guess it's misinformation. It's just, I don't know what the word I need to hear is. It's just, you read one if you don't read the other. If you read this one here, oh, Kansas wheat sucks. But anyway, here it's the Kansas wheat yield projected highest since 2021. They got a big blow letters. They think you're going to make the biggest crop ever. But it's not true. Most wheat farmers all know that 21, 22, 23 weren't the best years in the world, especially 22 and 23. Scouts on the annual tour of Kansas wheat farms projected better than average yields in the top U.S. winter wheat state. Rutgers' Heather Schlitz reported that this past week that scouts on an annual tour of the Kansas wheat fields projected better than average yields in the top U.S. winter wheat state, reflecting improved moisture after several years of drought. Okay, the tour estimated Kansas wheat yields potential at 46.5 bushels per acre after scouting 449 fields over 3 days. Schlitz reported the figure is the highest since 2021 and falls above the five-year tour average of 42.4 bushels per acre from 2018 to 2023. No tour was held in 2020 due to, you got it, COVID. Progressive Farmers Jason Jenkins reported this past Friday that unless conditions deteriorate considerably, this year's Kansas hard red winter wheat crop will substantially surpass the 23 crop. Well, yeah, which was the smallest in more than 50 years. According to Dave Green, Wheat Quality Council Executive Vice President, the tour estimated a total harvest of 290.4 bushels, which is 22.4 million bushels more than the 268 million bushels forecast by the USDA based on May 1st conditions. There you have it. I mean, just you look at those titles and you think one's saying something, it's a disaster, and the next one, it's really good. This is going to be the best. So you got to pay attention to what you're reading there. Okay, let's see. You got, I didn't want to do this, but I got to. A dairy worker in Michigan has the bird flu in the second case of cow-to-human infection. Dairy workers were infected in both cases of cow-to-human transmission, and the Michigan worker, like the first infected worker in Texas, reported redness of the eye. A worker on a Michigan dairy farm contracted a mild case of the bird flu from infected cattle, the second cow-to-human infection. Anyway, the risk to the public, according to the CDC, remains really low, said Nirav Shah. Anyway, the CDC's principal deputy director. Also on Wednesday, the USDA broadened its effort to quell the spread of the virus by extending its offer of financial assistance to dairy farmers to include uninfected herds. To date, the H5N1 bird flu virus has been confirmed in 52 herds in 8 states. Michigan has the most, 15, followed by Texas with 14, where scientists say the highly avian influenza virus jumped from birds to cattle in late 23 or earlier this year. They don't know. The second case was not unexpected, said Shaw during a teleconference. It does not change our assessment of the risk overall and does not suggest we are any steps closer to anything larger. Cow-to-human transmission is rare. There has been no human-to-human infection, and the volume of flu-like illnesses being detected is unchanged, he said. Oh, I thought it was her. When he asked if there was a risk of widespread illness. While the risk to the general public is low, the risk is higher for farm and slaughterhouse workers and for the people close, prolonged and unprotected exposure to infected birds and other animals. Don O'Connell, assistant director of the Department of Health and Human Services, said that a couple weeks ago, as a precaution, the federal disease stockpiled ordered 4.8 million doses of vaccine against the bird flu. There are no immediate plans to use it, said O'Connell and Shaw. The CDC recommends livestock workers wear personal protective equipment, such as gloves and face shields. Dairy workers were infected in both cases of cow-to-human transmission. And the Michigan worker, the first worker in Texas, all had redness of the eye. They are doing well, they said, referring to unnamed Michigan worker. A nasal swab from the worker tested negative, while an eye swab tested positive for the bird flu. It reduces the likelihood of a respiratory route of transmission. So anyway, be interesting to know if that dairy worker in Michigan drink raw milk, because that's what happened to the one, according to sources, to the one in Texas. So that would be interesting to find out. So anyway, new predictions for the summer season released by the NOAA Climate Prediction Center this week shows weather is likely to heat up in almost every corner of the United States. The forecast, which covers June, July, and August, indicates nearly every state was leaning toward the hotter than normal summer season. The highest chances are found out west. Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and parts of Colorado have a 60 to 70% chance of above average temperatures over the next 3 months. We have a 30 to 50% chance of having warmer than normal summer. Hope you guys enjoyed today. See you tomorrow. I might be in the field tomorrow on wheat harvest if we got some wheat cutting going on tomorrow, live from the field. Anyway, this is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Have a great day and God bless.
I actually kind of like